Grace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, it has been my privilege over the years of ministry to baptize hundreds of children and adults in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And one of the meaningful passages for me in all of those years is found in that rite of baptism. Baptism doth also now save us, or as we find it in Lutheran worship, baptism now saves you. We know why we are baptized. It is in order to save us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. It was a little over a year ago that a grandmother came into my office following a worship service on a Sunday morning. And in tears, she related to me a very sad story. Her two young grandchildren had not been baptized, and there was no intention to baptize them. The daughter-in-law felt that those children should grow up and make a decision later on in life as to whether they wanted to be baptized or not. And her husband, whom I had confirmed and baptized, went along with that kind of thinking. And so it was that the grandmother was very, very sad. And she said, "Pastor, if I bring them in to you secretly, will you baptize them?" We continued to talk, and I was just a little disappointed that when she told me why she wanted them baptized, it was not the kind of motive I had hoped to hear from her, because her motive was, everybody in our family is baptized, and it's only proper that these children be baptized too. At that point, she wasn't able to take hold of the much greater truth. Baptism now saves you. That brings us to the text which is before us, to the baptism of Jesus. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. One can quickly get off track and get into all kind of theological discussion as to whether Jesus was immersed in the Jordan River, whether the water was deep enough at that particular point, or whether John the Baptist just simply used the water which was available to him at that time in order to carry out this baptism. And so it is that we can get into all kinds of questions concerning the baptism of Jesus, but the most important question is, why was he baptized? He was without sin. He was the sinless Son of God. He had no need for repentance. But he was baptized according to his will and the will of the Father. He was baptized by John in that Jordan River because this was his way of properly entering upon his redemptive office. He, the Son of God, in humility, placed himself beside all sinful people, the sinful people he had come to save. As he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn open, that Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove, the voice of the Heavenly Father who said, "You are my Son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." If we knew nothing more than this, at this point, we might conclude that the story would go on to say, and Jesus returned to Nazareth, to live a productive life in the society in which he lived as a very good carpenter. The baptism is over, and we are told at once, right away, the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. Some of the earlier translations tell us that Jesus was driven out into that desert or wilderness. And that same root verb which is used here is the one which is used when we are told that Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. The details of the temptation are not given in the Gospel of St. Mark, but we have sufficient details given in the other gospel lessons. But we have something here that we don't have in those other gospels. And that is that Jesus was out there with the wild animals. And then he was tempted by Satan. And there are those who say, oh yes, he was out there in the wilderness with the wild animals, and as dangerous as they were, this is a foretaste of paradise. There was really no danger there. It just shows us what life is finally going to be like with our Lord in eternity. Not so. Those wild animals were a threat to our Lord. He overcame that threat, just as he overcame those temptations which Satan set before him, and the angels watched over him and ministered to him. It was many months later, when John was put into prison, and Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time, the kairos, he says, has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Christians, you and I have been baptized into the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we come forth from the waters of baptism, it is not simply for the purpose of sending us back into our families and back into our homes so that we might grow up and, according to society, live good, productive lives in this world. No, we are baptized and we are sent out, driven. Yes, driven into the wilderness. We are sent out among the wild animals, the temptations, the wilderness, the wild animals we encounter are like those encountered by our Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame them. For us, it's this world in which we live. We are to be in this world, but not of the world. And yet, Satan is right out there tempting us to become a part, a real living part of the world. He's like a wild animal, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the temptations are great to forsake our Lord and to commit ourselves to the lures that he hangs right out there and looks so beckoning that we want to take hold of them and appropriate them for ourselves. We sometimes fall, every one of us. But as we repent and receive by faith the atonement which Jesus made for us on the cross of Calvary as he gave his body into death and shed his blood for us, we're picked up. We're put back on that path leading to our God in eternity as sons of the living God, driven by the Spirit to do his will. We are like the Lord himself, baptized and driven, or sent out, to proclaim the message that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Let's go back once more to that grandmother, because I've never really liked sermons where somebody interjects something and I keep wondering, what happened? What happened to those two children? And oh, how I would love to tell you that they've both been baptized, but the fact of the matter is they haven't been. Mother hasn't changed her mind, The grandmother, however, has taken on a new direction. But what I can tell you is that the father, husband of that grandmother, who had started missing church and was dejected over this whole thing, started to come back. A younger son, who had fallen away from the church, in spite of the fact that he works on a Sunday morning, came back to church. That entire family, with the exception of those two people who would not have those children baptized, are all back worshiping their Lord. More than that, they recognize the importance of baptism. They see themselves as children of God. And as children of God, they feel driven, motivated, not only to continue to work so that those two grandchildren are finally baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and are brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as they grow in years, but they also have that same kind of drive and feeling of being sent out to people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You and I have been baptized in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we are sent out by the Spirit to do the very same thing. Amen.